And I want to say a big, big thank you to my friend Steve Chalk for coming to preach this evening, to coming to preach here in Chelmsford at all today, because, you know, he's not at a loose end. He has a real job. He has two real jobs. There's one job, leading Oasis, and another job, leading his church. And some of you may be surprised to discover that Steve doesn't go round the country preaching on a Sunday. He's in his own church. But he's come today to do me a favour, and I want to say a big thank you. So I've got some questions I want to ask of you, and you don't know what they are. You knew what they were going to be this morning. Yes. At least I gave you 2 minutes' notice. Question number one.
Good evening.
Why are you excited about Oasis?
Why am I excited? I'm excited because Oasis is something I started when I was 14, really. I'll tell you more about that later. And then in my 20s, actually set up some housing. I decided I wanted to set up a charity that told people about Jesus, created housing for people who had no housing, created education for people who were cheated out of education, and created great healthcare for people. And that all started a long time ago. And I feel like now, all these years later, Oasis is just getting going. It started with me in 1985. We now employ about 6,000 people in this country, and we work in 10 other countries. And I feel like we just got on the starting blocks, and I think we've got there just at the right moment, because I think that our society and societies around the world are going to change beyond all recognition in the next few years. And I think there are opportunities galore to be the church in a myriad of ways that we never thought of, but it's all about learning about inclusion.
Sounds all very exciting. Most people say that church is boring. Do you ever get excited about the local church?
I'm completely excited about the local church. I'm not just saying that because it's Paul saying that to me. I am a Baptist minister, but I lead Oasis, and it's developed around the world. And I also work for the United Nations. So I can busy myself in things to do with government and things to do with global governments and international governments and all that kind of stuff. But I lead a local church, which is in Waterloo in South London. And the reason I lead a local church, built the church over the last few years, we were given an empty building that's not half as nice as yours, but we were given an empty building. There were 10 elderly people in there, and nothing happened except the meeting for this service. And now we run, now the church has got hundreds of people in. We run a social enterprise, we run a coffee shop, we run football teams, we run a primary school, we're just going to start a secondary school, we run a food bank, we're just setting up a local bank, a credit union. We run loads of other things as well. And we do that because I think that... I keep going, crook, 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 don't I hear? I think that... Oh, is that me or you?
I think it's your hips.
Okay. we do that because I think... I honestly believe this at my core. The local church is the best mechanism on earth for changing communities. And that's why I'm the leader of a local church. I've just been talking to Paul this afternoon about the opportunities for churches. I honestly think, you see, I go to the UN, I go to Vienna and New York, and I sit with the leaders of world government. And I say to them, as I get the opportunity, the best mechanism in the world for changing society is a local church, because I actually believe it. That's why I lead one.
Now, just suppose that you were candidating to become my successor.
I couldn't fill those shoes.
What would...
In fact, I wouldn't want to fill those shoes. No, just...
What are some of the things that you would like to do if you had a chance here in Chelmsford?
Well, I arrived this morning. I just work this way. You know, you get into a way of working. So I'm driving up the road with my friend Paul. We've got two friends called Paul. And we're driving up the road, and I'm thinking, this is interesting, and there's that development going on over there. And so as I walked through the car park, I bumped into someone. I said, so what's being built there? How many homes are being built there? Is there any social provision that's going to be built there? What kind of families are going to be moving in? Are they old? Are they young? What are their needs, etc.? What other land do you have to be able to develop here? What gaps are there in terms of provision here in society, in this community, in the city of Chelmsford? You see, I think, I was saying this morning, I trained at Spurgeon's College, where Paul used to be the principal before he was the principal. And I think Spurgeon's College is great. Theological colleges are great. But I think that we train leaders to do the wrong job in churches. Spurgeon's College trains church leaders, and it shouldn't. It should give up. It should shut that course down tomorrow, in my view. It should be training community leaders. Because the church is really a community that's Christ-centered for everyone, that's inclusive for everyone. And we need to begin meeting people's needs where they are. Their social needs, their aspirational needs, their educational needs, their health needs, their emotional needs, their monetary needs. The gospel is good news at every level. So the skills I trade on, I'm going to hold this because I'm sorry I keep crunching. Right, the skills that I trade on all of the time are not, sadly, the ones that I learnt at theological college, and I'm not down in theological college at all. But you see, with the skills I need to lead my community, I need to know about conflict resolution. I need to know how to read a spreadsheet. I need to know how to strategize. I need to know how to build teams. I need to know how to talk to local councils. I need to know how to create networks. I need to be able to tell what needs are in a community. I need to do research papers. I need to be able to sit down with people and talk their language, not our language. Now, the thing about all the great songs we sing in church, and they are great songs, they're all in a code. Do you know that, don't you? But we understand the code, so we know what the words mean. But nobody else has got the foggiest idea. That's just the truth. These songs we've sung tonight, I mean, some of them are written by friends of mine, like Lou Fellingham and all the rest of it. I think they're great songs, but they're all in code. And there's only a few people on earth who know what the code is. And it happens to be us lot. But nobody outside our doors has got the foggiest idea what we're on about. And so what we have to do is communicate what we understand in new language. We need to be bilingual. We need to communicate in the language of the people to whom we go. Now, the funny thing is, if you go across to Mozambique to work, you see, in Mozambique, Mozambique's a wonderful country, by the way. Great beaches in Mozambique. And, you know, in Mozambique, they all speak Portuguese. So the point is, rocking up in Mozambique, which is a wonderful country in Africa, though very poor, rocking up in Mozambique and talking away in English is going to get you absolutely nowhere because they just don't understand English. So you speak in Portuguese. We all understand that about cross-cultural mission. But cross-cultural mission is what's going to need to go on between this place and, if I'm rightly, is that where the new buildings are happening? See, that's cross-cultural mission, and it's a different language and a different culture. It's absolutely. So it's a funny thing that if we send someone to Africa, we know they need to work cross-culturally. If we send someone across the alleyway, we think it's all going to be okay. But it's not. So that is the task ahead of the church. I'm excited about it because I believe the church is the best mechanism for agency for delivering change. I mean, let's face it, who else has got a clue? You know, so we are struggling to get our heads around this, but if you're sitting inside a local council or national government, let me say this, I'm not trying to drop names, but I know the Prime Minister, I knew the last one, and I knew the one before that. It's my job to, you know, it's the job I do. So I know half the members of the cabinet, do you know? And the truth is, they have no idea how to bring about the changes we need in our society. They can prescribe what the changes ought to be. They can tell us what's wrong, and they normally do, don't they? But they don't know how to change it, but we do. Here's how you change it. Sorry, Paul, I'm talking for too long. You change it through relationship. That's it. I go to conferences, flashy conferences, but in the end, it's who knows who. Who spends time with who and who speaks whose language. And the people that move in round here, they just want someone to have a cup of tea with. And then we learn their needs, speak their language and strategize to become community leaders.
Thanks, Steve. Steve will preach to us in a moment.